The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 900. It's the 18th of October 2017. On the podcast today, I have Bert Monroe, Head of Business Development at Hummingbird Resources, at HUM. And Bert covers some of the highlights from their Q3 review. Plus, I also have on John Mayer, Mining Analyst and Partner at SP Angel. And we talk about the electric vehicle revolution and companies that are likely to benefit from it, including Strategic Minerals, Codal Minerals, Ortec Resources. We also mentioned Asia Met Resources and Georgian Mining Corporation, but we've covered those previously. Also on the podcast is the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours and the top five most liked RNSs on the platform in the last 24 hours too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Bert Monroe, Head of Business Development at Hummingbird Resources, as HUM ticker. Bert, thanks for joining me again.
Hi, Justin. Thanks for having me on the show.
That's all right. Well, listen, you know, there's a lot of interest out there, and especially in gold. Always interest in gold. So you've had a sort of a Q3 review, and we'll get to that in a bit, some of the highlights. But before we do, Bert, for people listening right now or tuning in, and they say they've not heard of Hummingbird Resources, what do you do there?
Hummingbird, is it? What, me personally, or what does Hummingbird do?
Well, no, but do you know what? We can get on to that later. But generally, the company itself.
Yeah. The company. Yeah, so company Hummingbird is an AIM-listed gold company. We're currently building a gold mine in Mali, the Yanfolila Gold Project, due to be pouring gold before the end of this year. We've also got a suite of exploration assets and development assets across West Africa currently. And our focus is obviously on building a major gold company.
Excellent stuff. And just to put some figures around that, we were saying that hopefully your life of mine average production rate is about 107,000 ounces of gold. Is that correct?
That's correct. So the Yanfolila gold mine, which is obviously due to come online in December of this year, over the life of mine averaging 107,000 ounces a year at an all-in cost of around $700 an ounce. So very high margin mine. It's got high grade open pit, easy free digging material, so lots of advantages there.
And yeah, and if people do the maths on that, so $700 all in, the gold price at the moment is about $1,300, so that's $600 of profit times 107,000 ounces, and that's about $64 million of profit a year. And so, looking at your market cap, it's 132. So you can see there the value is there, isn't it? And also
that's correct. And also just to add to that, I mean, obviously in the first year we're due to produce over 130,000 ounces in the first year. And obviously the all-in cost is the average over life of mine. In your first years, your costs are lower, so your profits will be higher.
Yeah, okay. And okay, so let's get on to some of the highlights of Q3. And so you're 86% complete on mine construction. Is that right? And you still, it looks like you've got a big chunk of cash in the bag, which is $56 million. Is that right?
Yeah, both those numbers are correct as of the end of September. So actually, we've 18 days further advanced. So yeah, everything's been going extremely well. We're on track. We're on budget. So as you said, we're at the end of last quarter, we were 86% complete on all of the construction. A little bit further ahead now, obviously, and had $56 million in the bank. So have an extremely strong cash position. So no, everything's going as well as we could have hoped, and we're really pleased with the progress. But obviously this is the big quarter. We've probably been saying that every quarter, but I mean this one truly is, obviously moving into commissioning and then first gold pour before the end of the year. So yeah, this is the big one.
Yeah, definitely. And that's obviously Yanfolila there. That's very exciting there. But also two other bits of news, quite interesting, I thought. And first of all, let's tackle the I don't know how you say it. Is it Kabada Gold Project owned by African Gold Group? Take us through that if you could, Bert.
That's exactly how you pronounce it, Justin. Well done. So we announced the signing of a letter of intent with African Gold Group. Essentially, African Gold Group own an asset called Kabada. It lies to the north of our Yanfolila gold mine. It's a 2 million ounce deposit at just over a gram a ton. what we believe Kibada could do for Yanfolila is you could truck a concentrate, a high-grade concentrate to Yanfolila, and it could add an additional 50,000 ounces a year to the Yanfolila production profile. So our hope from the deal is, assuming that it all goes through over the coming months, is that we will be able to, with African Gold Group, build a concentration plant and then truck a high-grade ore to Yanfolila, and it will not only increase our average production from, as you said, 107 to hopefully north of 150,000 ounces, it will also look to extend our mine life as well. I think we've said it quite a few times, but we believe, whilst the stated mine life of Yanfolila is 7.5 years, from organic growth on our mining permit and other exploration permits, we should easily get it into the teens. This deal also will help move the mine life well into the teens as well. So hopefully, a very good deal and one we're sort of excited to keep progressing.
Yeah, and aside from this, now the Kora Gold IPO name, and you own 33.85% in that company. So take us, what's the deal here? Take us through the detail here, please, Bert.
Yeah, I mean, Kora Gold IPO happened, as you said, actually just post the end of the quarter at the start of October. But it's a great exploration business. Essentially, Hummingbird met with Kola Gold. We've known them for a while. They've got a world class exploration team run by John Forster, who's made a number of extremely large discoveries in West Africa, which have gone on to become mines in West Africa. We had a suite of exploration licenses, which, because of our focus on Yanfolila, we weren't giving them due attention, even though they had lots of exploration potential. So we essentially merged a number of our exploration assets with the Kola Gold assets in Mali and Senegal, which was called Kora Gold. So at the time, Hummingbird owned 50% of Kora Gold as a private company. And then it did a successful IPO onto the AIM market, a couple of weeks ago now, raising about $4.5 million, £3.5 million, with the intention of going about an aggressive exploration program in Mali and Senegal. It just announced yesterday, actually, that it had appointed drill contractors and is looking to start drilling its major project, the Sanan Kori Gold Project, by the end of November. Sanan Kori was actually a permit that Hummingbird used to own. It was has a drill discovery on it from back in the Goldfields days, who used to own the project before us. So it should be exciting times for Kora, sort of getting out into the field and doing lots of exploration. So Hummingbird, as you said, is we are the largest shareholder, 34%, and I'm obviously very keen to see how progresses there.
Yes, you've got a lot of interesting things going on, from almost production starting to exploration, and also, this is not to mention that you've also got your interest in where's the other bit? Is it Liberia?
In Liberia, the Dugbe Gold Project. I think it's worth talking about that for a bit as well. We've got a 4.2 million ounce gold project in southeast Liberia called Dugbe. That is a project that Hummingbird was founded around. Dan Betts, our CEO, founded Hummingbird back in 2005-06, and the first permit he ever acquired was the Dugbe Gold permit. At the time, it was a virgin greenfield exploration permit with no data and nothing on it, and we took it from what it was, just a blob on the map, and we went through systematic exploration and have taken it up to a 4.2 million ounce project. As it stands, obviously, we are developing Yanfolila, and that is our primary focus, but there's a huge amount of value. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to work out that 4.2 million ounces of gold near surface, there's a good project there. We just have been focusing on Mali, and for a company of our size, trying to develop two projects at the same time would be very tricky.
Yeah, okay. And just thinking yesterday, I saw sort of inflation shoot up, and I thought there's more the likelihood now of an interest rate hike is more likely here in November. And I thought, what's the relationship between interest rates and the sterling rising and all that, dollar rising, maybe because they're doing it over there as well, obviously. And gold, I was surprised that there's no correlation. The price of gold does not weaken in times when interest rates go up. I was surprised to see. Obviously you work in gold arena. What's your thoughts on the gold price, Bert?
Thoughts on the gold price? I think it'd be a brave man to start making gold predictions to yourself. But I think, look, I obviously read a huge amount of material around gold price and everything else. And I think I haven't seen many analysts. I can't remember the last analyst to forecast the gold price going down. So, I mean, every analyst I've seen is either forecasting the gold to be at this sort of 1300 level or higher. So, you know, those who spend their lives plotting, charting, and trying to work out where the gold price is going to go, they all seem to be in consensus that the gold price is staying at or rising from 1300 an ounce. I think, you know, outside of interest rates, there's obviously a huge number of global factors which we're all aware of that, that influence the gold price. And I think, you know, the gold price moves for lots of different reasons and influenced in lots of ways. And I don't think you know, we could ever do it justice on your show, Justin, over a few minutes. So, yeah, as I said, you know, I'm not one to predict what the gold price is going to do, but you know, everyone I've read seems to be forecasting the gold price to either, you know, be at or be higher than 1300. So I think the important thing from Hummingbird's perspective is, you know, we aim to be producing gold in the lowest quartile of our peers, which is what we're currently targeting on doing. And if we can maintain our all-in costs, say, at or around $700 an ounce, there is a huge amount of margin there for all of our shareholders to be benefiting from over the course of the years to come as Yanfolila moves into production in the very near future.
Yeah, and that is important when looking at any sort of company, you know, in production, exploration, whatever, is, you know, where do they sit as far as costs are concerned? If they're the lowest quartile, then that's the most important thing, isn't it, you know?
Well, I think it is. I think, obviously, you know, people want to invest in gold companies because they want exposure, leveraged exposure to the gold price. But they equally also want to know when the gold price goes down, that company can afford to continue operating. So, you know, you want the leveraged exposure on the upside, but you also, you want to know if the gold price does crash down, not that anyone's foreseeing it happening, but the gold, they've got protection on the downside. So targeting investing in, you know, low cost producers is obviously, you know, as an investor, the thing to be looking to do, I would say. So, you know, we're very happy, you know, that Yanfolila, with its, you know, open pit, free digging material with a greater than 3 gram a ton reserve grade, you know, provides that low cost production. So that's what we're looking to offer to our shareholders.
Marvellous. Well, Bert, if anyone's listening to this right now and they like the sound of what you're doing and everything you're involved in, but are not yet following you on Vox Markets, give them 3 reasons why they should hit that follow button, please.
The first reason, we're looking to be producing gold before the end of this year, so you've got immediate and near-term cash flow. The second reason, we've got $56 million in the bank, so we've got an extremely strong cash position. And the third reason, we've got a huge amount of exploration exposure on the upside, not only on 100% Hummingbird-owned exploration permits, but also through Kora Gold I've spoken about, and also through this potential deal with African Gold Group as well, giving us a huge amount of further upside to the existing Yanfolila mine economics.
Marvellous stuff. Bert, thanks for coming on, and hopefully we'll chat again in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much for having me on.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer. And he's a big man in the world of commodities, and he's a partner in SP Angel there, and mining analyst, and award-winning mining analyst. A lot of people said that to me, John, actually, on Twitter. Said, you know, John likes Georgian Mining Corporation, and he's an award-winning mining analyst. And I hope you are, because I've said that a couple of times now. You've won awards, John, haven't you?
yes, many okay. times in the Excel survey and those things, yeah.
I was going to say, if you said no to me then, that would be a bit of a letter. No, I haven't, actually. You got the wrong John Mayer. Excellent. So, John, what I want to do today is explore, you know, the field, because I saw a report I do every morning. I do 5 things you need to know, and it's more macro sort of podcast, lasts about 60, 70 seconds. And one of the stories I covered today was Shell to open electric vehicle charging points at UK petrol stations. And in fact, I was talking about my father on the weekend, and he said, well, where are people going to charge these things? Where can people charge them? And I said, well, I think one of the majors will just start integrating new pumps, you know, on this, and that's happened the week, literally on the weekend. Said that, and it's happened. And it's only going to be 10 service stations at the moment, but that's in I think London, Surrey, and Derby. But this to me is a start now of a revolution. I also read in that article that peak petrol is around about 2030, so basically people demanding petrol will go down after that time. And so we are seeing a revolution here, John, aren't we?
Yes, well, I mean, led by Shell, who've always been moving into new energy, and BP as well. They see themselves as energy providers. Mm. And Shell, a week ago, decided to buy New Motion, which manages over 30,000 charging points for electric vehicles in Western Europe. So a significant move for Shell, buying the expertise, buying the sites, and moving more into that. And of course, nobody exactly knows how the technology is going to pan out, but we had Toshiba saying that they could charge up a battery that would do 230 miles in 6 minutes. So, you know, I think the technology is going to change a bit, but those incremental changes in technology will make huge differences. But at the end of the day, you're still going to have somewhere to plug your vehicle in. And if you can charge up within 6 minutes, then you can go into a filling station as conventionally as you do today. And you know, the key point with that fast charging technology is the government will be able to tax us for it, because it's going to be more difficult to tax us if we're all plugging into our domestic electricity supplies, and they aren't going to like that, because they're going to lose taxation revenues from that we normally pay for petrol and diesel.
Yeah, yeah. And do you know what? I've no doubt that. I mean, it's been shown in the past. I watched a video recently, people saying, like my father's, where the tech is going to come from, how we're going to enable this, you know. And when you get this amount of inpouring of investment and interest from around the world, it happens. You know, technology expands exponentially when investment is poured into it. You know, it does work, and the tech catches up quite quickly. And but let's have a look. So on an individual stock basis, because I know there's quite a few companies out there that already copper, and you mentioned copper, Georgia Mining, there's Asia Met, there's quite a few areas where you can get exposure. But recently announced Strategic Minerals in the smallest cap space announced now exposure to copper, haven't they?
Yes, we have a number of client companies that are very active in the electric vehicle materials space. Strategic Minerals are looking and evaluating cobalt within nickel laterites in Australia, and I think that's beginning to look really quite exciting, and we're going to hear more about that quite shortly. But there are others as well, Ortac Resources, which has cobalt and copper in one of its joint ventures in Zambia. I think that could be very exciting going forwards. And then Kodal Minerals with lithium in Mali.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's hard to know where to play. I mean, I you know, I would suggest people doing their own research, of course, but I mean, it's probably worth getting a basket of these, isn't it? Because you don't know what will take off. And like you did mention last week, Mikango Resources in the rare earths. I mean, there's so many opportunities, because I just do see this now as a thin part of the wedge where we are at the moment. Copper prices, for example, and other commodities exposed to this, you know, EV revolution. I think we are. Do you think that we're at the almost like the thin end of the wedge here as far as prices concerned, demand?
Well, dare I say it? I think we are heading into a kind of dot-com style revolution. Maybe that will happen a little ahead of the actual revolution, as actually happened with the old dot-com bubble. But I don't think we've really started it yet in terms of materials for the construction and power supply into electric vehicles. So there's a lot more to be played out here, and certainly quite a number of small companies that I think are going to do quite well from this.
Yeah, do you know what? I didn't know there's different kind of lithium ion batteries or ion cells. And I was looking at this excellent sort of article on a company called Electric. And in Tesla, the Model S, for example, their battery there is made up to 15% cobalt, 5% aluminium, 80% nickel. So I think,
yes.
Wow, that's amazing. But you go on.
Well, nickel is the big thing, and BHP are ramping up nickel production in Australia. Mm-hmm. And it's specific types of nickel production, which are specifically good for battery manufacturers. Mm-hmm. And remember, there's always a bit of chemistry in all this. They're not so keen on nickel metal. They're actually more keen on other nickel compounds. And certain companies are able to respond to this quite well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's odd, because the Apple iPhone has a 100% cobalt battery in there, but and the Nissan Leaf has manganese. like 100% in there, the cathodes, that is part of the battery, you know. So
I think the battery chemistries will continue to change as we go forwards, and but I think I think it's fair to assume that there is going to continue to be lithium in these batteries. Mm-hmm. Cobalt may or may not be a preferred element, but does seem to improve performance, and nickel seems to be present in just about everything.
And also, you know, not outside the batteries, like we just said, copper is needed for all this, isn't it, you know?
And again, different batteries are going to be preferred for different types of applications. So the exact characteristics of a battery in a phone are going to be different from the characteristics that you want for a battery in your car or in other electronic devices. Mm-hmm. And we are seeing more and more applications where batteries are being used coming through in the marketplace all the time.
Yeah, marvellous stuff. Okay, so we'll some companies to do some research on then. So you mentioned there there's Strategic, which is SML, Kodal, which is KOD, Autac, which is OTC, and of course we've got Geo, and it's Asia Met there. What else do we mention there, John, if you can remember? Was that it?
I think just to finish off, it's worth saying that historically the big and experienced fund managers in the junior mining space have taken a broad-based portfolio approach. Mm-hmm. And rather than just targeting one or two companies, they've generally gone in and bought a basket of businesses for their portfolios, and that's worked well for them. So it is certainly worth looking at spreading some of the risk, because you don't exactly know what's going to happen to each company at any moment in time.
Exactly, yeah, absolutely. John, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll chat next week, fella. Thanks very much.
Great. All right, thanks.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at 5, Angus Energy. At 4, it's been there quite a few times, Rehoboth Resources, RBD. At 3, always there, Ascent Resources, AST. At 2, Vast Resources, VAST. At 1, Greatland Gold. Wow, it's been there, I think, 3 days on a trot now, GGP. And it's another riser again today. Okay, top 5 most liked RNSs on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours are as follows. At 5, Independent Oil and Gas. That's letter of intent signed with key contractor ODE. OD. Hello, OD. Maybe it's Bill OD. At 4, Management Resource Solutions. This is yesterday afternoon. MRS. Holdings and Company. That's Trevor Brown, the director there. He's taking a stake above 4%, I think. At 3, Infinity Energy. Infinity Energy potential acquisition. At 2, Vast Resources, significant further progress on Betaply Association license, the BP license there in Romania. At 2, sorry, we just didn't do that, that was 2, sorry, hello? Deja vu, at 2. And at 1, Asia Met Resources, 30 metres of 8.3% zinc at BKZ and extends high-grade polymetallic discovery. That's it for the podcast. Oh, by the way, it's rising again, Asia Met Resources, rising strongly. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.